Today we're going to continue our next shiur in Perek Chelek. We're going to learn about, number one, a hint to Tchiyas HaMeisim from the Torah, and a religious debate, a religious discussion, the first one, or a list of five, and the first one between different rabbis and heretics or people or non-Jews. So we'll begin with Tanya, Rabbi Simai Omer, two lines from the, where the lines get wide on Sadi Amun Beis. So the Brisa says, Tanya, Rabbi Simai Omer, Rabbi Simai says, Minayin Tchiyas HaMeisim Min HaTorah. Where do we know, where's the hint of resurrection of the dead from the Torah, Shenamar? Because the Pasuk says, when Hashem is speaking to Moshe Rabbeinu, V'gama ki Moses precede Tamla Seishalem as Eretz Canaan. Hashem said he established his covenant with the Avos to give them Eretz Canaan. Lochem lo nemar. Hashem didn't say that he's going to give you, meaning to Bnei Israel, Eretz Canaan. Ela lohem. He said he's going to give Eretz Canaan to the Avos as a lasting inheritance. Mikan l'chias ha'meisim min ha'Torah. So the fact that the Avos never had the land as a lasting inheritance, as a, they lived in the land, but it wasn't an achuza, it wasn't part of their lasting inheritance at that point. So the fact that Hashem promises to them in the future means they have to come back to life in order to receive the fulfillment of this covenant. The Maharsha points out that there are other times in the Torah where Hashem said he's going to give Eretz Canaan to the Avos, and yet we don't find those as a source to the concept of Tchiyas HaMeisim. For example, by Avraham, Hashem says to Avram, Kum hisalech baris larka l'rachba ki l'cha dena. Hashem says to Avram, go and walk with the land, the length and the width, I'm going to give it to you. Or Yaakov, he says that the land, ki haaretz she'artai shochev aleh l'cha dena, the land which you lie on it now, I'm going to give this land to you. So there, in those instances, when Hashem spoke to the Avos, according to the Marsha, that was only a matana bikoach. That was only a gift in the sense of, in theory, that this is what he's going to give it to them in theory, but not lobapoa, not in practice. Meaning that Hashem is telling the Avos at that point, the different Avos that he's speaking to, the different Avram and to Yaakov, that they should shiyachsiba bilucha ba l'rocha v'lorech. He's telling Avram to walk the length and the width. That in the future he's going to inherit the land, or in the future his descendants will inherit the land. And also with Yaakov, he didn't give it to him in practice. He just says that he's going to inherit the land, but he's going to make the land easier to conquer for his children, but not that he's going to give it to them in practice as a lasting inheritance. That's why, for example, the Rasha writes that the Avos, that sometimes they were nervous that the gift to give them the land has not been fulfilled because it wasn't befoal yet. Even though Hashem said, I'm going to give you the land, that's only bekoach in theory. But until he gives it befoal in practice, so then, or until he promises he's going to give it to them in practice, so then they were a little nervous that maybe for some reason they would not inherit the land. However, Vakimosius Brisi, this pasuk in Va'era was Namar Akiyam Abris. This was said on the fulfillment of a bris, on the gift, on the covenant. Valmatonash is kind of before, and on a gift that would be fulfilled in practice. What it seems is that the job of the Avos was to do symbolic acts in preparation for the actual acquisition. The land was only given to a nation. Avram Avinu was promised an eretz, a land, Zerah, and a nation. And the eretz, the land, would only go to the Zerah, to the nation. On a personal level, Avram required the Maris of Machpelah, but the land, in practice, as a lasting inheritance, was only given when his children became a nation. That's why, perhaps, after the defeat of the four kings, Avram doesn't conquer the land. Because, again, he doesn't own the land at this point because we don't have a nation yet. The essence of the lives of the Avos is receiving an Eretz, because that's part of what the promise that Hashem bestowed upon Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, a land and a nation. The defining aspect of their lives is Eretz Yisrael. Without Eretz Yisrael, it's not a real Jewish life. It's an incomplete Jewish life. So they failed. They didn't inherit Eretz Yisrael as a lasting inheritance. They didn't fulfill, they didn't complete their destiny. So again, Tchias HaMesim demonstrates that their life is not a failure. They will start in this life and they will finish in the future. And because of that, again, what we do now matters. And again, even though we may not finish our job at this point, at some point we may die, but in the future we will finish our job. This is the idea of second chances in the future. That's what Tchias HaMesim is all about. And therefore what we do in this world matters, even if we don't fulfill our mission before we die. We then move on to the Gemara, to a series of debates or discussions between rabbis and non-Jews or heretics or various individuals and disputes about the nature of theology. So it begins with, four words, which are a siman. Tzedek gam geshem kam siman. But then, according to the text of the Marsha and the Gra, it's not tzedek gam, it's tzarak kam. Tzadi resh kuf and kuf mem. Referring to Tzidoki, Rome, Cleopatra, Caesar, and Min. You can understand why two of the letters were switched, because they're probably censored. And these five individuals, Tzidoki, the Sadducee, Rome, Cleopatra, Caesar, and Amin, a heretic, they went against the next five, which are Geshem Kam, Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Gamliel, and Rabbi Ami. You know, in Maseches Chagiga, Daf Hamad Beis, they asked Rabbi Yeshua, what will happen if he dies? Who will defeat the heretics? And he says, don't worry, that once, if the Chacham dies, who can debate the heretic, then there won't be a heretic. And he cited a pasuk that once, he cited two pasukim, that proved the idea that once the heretic is no longer a threat, so then the Chacham is not needed. And perhaps it's also related to this phrase here of Sarakam, which is Sarakam, which means a Chacham who's a kofar, maybe. And so if it's a Sarak, someone who's I think Sarak is the Ilan Sarak, a strong tree that doesn't have fruit. So it refers to a smart heretic. So if he is Kam, if he rises, so then Geshem Kam, a tzaddik who influences like the rain, will rise. Or some also said that Sarak stands for Tzidokim, Rishayim, and Karaim, although Karaim are post-Talmudic. But in any case, so the Siman indicates that when a heretic or someone challenges Jewish faith, Jewish theology, we're always going to have someone to stand up for Jewish faith and Jewish theology. So the first discussion, and we're only going to read a bit of it today, was between Rabbi Gamliel and the Minyim, or the Tzidukim. So Shalom Minim is Rabbi Gamliel. So a Min or a Tzidoki asked Rabbi Gamliel, Minayin Shekadosh Baruch Hu Machayim Meisim. How do you know that God resurrects the dead? Now I just want to point out that Rabbi Gamliel lived around the time of the rise of the Judeo-Christians. In fact, it was during the era of Rabbi Gamliel that Rabbi Gamliel asked, this is Gemara in Brachos, Daf Chavches Amud Beis, does anyone know about the Birchas Aminim and how to compose the bracha against the Minim, the heretics? So that probably referred to the Judeo-Christians. It referred to those individuals who believed in Christianity and also Judaism. They came to the shuls and they were preaching their ideology. So Rav Gamliel wants to compose a bracha that was against these Judeo-Christians, and so perhaps they would leave the synagogue. But there, the Minim there referred to the Judeo-Christians. Doesn't seem that here the Minim or the Tzidokim refer to the Judeo-Christians, because they're asking, how do we know that there's resurrection of the dead from the Torah? They believe the resurrection of the dead if they're Judeo-Christians. They believe that their Savior came back to life. In any case, Rabban Gamliel responds, the Gemara says, Amar lahem min haTorah min Nevi'im min haKesuvim. He wants to bring a proof of resurrection of the dead from Torah, Nevi'im, and Kesuvim. Now, our article of faith in our Mishnah is only that Tchias HaMesim is from the Torah, but he also wants to bring proofs from the Nevi'im and the Kesuvim. So today we're only going to focus on his proof from the Torah. And it's proof from the Torah is, V'yomar Hashem Moshe, Hashem says to Moshe, Incha shachiv v'mosecha, behold, you will lie with your ancestors. V'kam ha'mazeh v'zanachar, Arei Elohei nechara aretz, Asher hu ba shama b'kirbo. And the Pasuk says that the nation will arise and will stray and they'll follow other gods. Now, the way Rav Galil wants to read this is, V'yomar Hashem Moshe, Incha shachiv v'mosecha v'kam. Behold, Moshe will lie with your ancestors. He's telling Hashem to Moshe, behold, you're going to lie with your ancestors, Vikam, and then you're going to rise from the dead. So he's reading Vikam to refer to what's before and now what's after it. It's a little strange because I would have said on the surface that Vikam is connected to what's afterwards, that the Kam Amazev is on Achreel Heir Nechar Aretz, that this nation's going to rise and stray after the other gods. And Rashi points out that this is one of three or five texts that it's not reconciled. It's not conclusive. Is the word connected to what's before, what's after it? This is based on the Gemara in Yoma, where it lists a bunch of times where this seems to be the case. Though the question is, why would you explain it in an unusual way? Why don't you simply read it like Hincha Shachiv Masecha? Moshe, you're going to die. V'kam ha'mazev v'zanach re'el he'en nechar aretz. And the nation's going to arise and stray after the other gods. Why would we think that the word v'kam is connected to what's written before it? And by the way, the theory here is that it's connected to both. That you can have a word in the Torah that's connected to what's written before and after. So why would you say that? The Torah Chaim says the word v'kam is extra. The Torah could have simply said, Hincha shechev v'masech, about you're going to lie with your ancestors. V'zana ha'am hazeh achreel hei nechar aretz. And the nation will stray after the foreign gods. What does v'kam add? So it must be that it's connected to also what's written before. The Maharal says that maybe because the term shechev and v'kam, like shechiva and kima, lying down, getting up, those words are connected. The fact that the Torah specifically says, Hincha shochev v'kam, so the word v'kam must also be connected to what's written before it. The Torah Tamima says that, why would Hashem tell Moshe that after he dies, that the Klal Yisrael will sin? Won't that simply cause Moshe pain if there's no way to fix this? So really, what Hashem is saying must be that there must be Tchias HaMesim. He's saying that don't give up hope if Klal Yisrael stray after you die. Because even though Moshe knows this, don't worry, everything will be fixed in Tchias HaMesim. There's the fact that Hashem is telling Moshe Rabbeinu that Klal Yisrael will sin after he dies, and the point being that somehow Moshe must feel it somehow after he dies. Moshe must somehow live on, his neshama must live on. And he's telling him, don't worry, there's Tchias HaMesim, everything will be fixed in the end. Kli Yakar says the lashon of Vikam Vizana indicates that he brings a pasuk from, or he brings an idea in the Gemara where it says that when a student basically does something bad in public, so his Rebbe does not have menucha, does not have rest in the kever, because if his student messes up, so his Rebbe is, people are going to say, oh, woe to his Rebbe who taught him Torah. So the law, and with respect to this, it's like the student who sins, kam al rabo ke oyev orev. He is rising on his Rebbe like an enemy, like someone laying in wait, an ambush. The lashon of vikam vizana means that someone is not simply straying, but he is sort of rising and causing pain to his Rebbe who came before him. So the lashon of vikam vizana is that they're going to cause pain to Moshe Rabbeinu, and after Moshe dies, why will there be pain again? There'll only be pain if Moshe feels it. Why would he feel it? It's only because his neshama somehow is still immortal and still in existence after he dies. So why is that the case? Because eventually he's going to come back to life. So for one of perhaps some of these reasons, there's this idea that we're explaining the word v'kam in an unusual way to refer to both Moshe v'kam, that he's going to arise from the dead, and also the people will arise and they're going to stray after Moshe dies. Rav Ezra Bick points out, and perhaps before we get to what Rav Ezra Bick points out, is that the Marsha writes that Hashem is telling Moshe to contrast him with Klal Yisrael. That with respect to Klal Yisrael, they're going to sin, they're going to stray, and they're not going to come back up. They're going to mess up, and no one's going to be able to rebuke them, and no one's going to be able to return them to the good, to the right path. And that's unfortunate. But don't worry, Moshe, you, even though you died, you will die, you are going to return. There's nothing, in other words, you did all you could, and because you died and they sinned, that's okay, it's not your fault. You did what you had to do, and you will rise from the dead. And it's not your fault, the fact that they're going to stray in your death. The fact that you're lacking, that's going to cause them to stray, that's true, but that's nothing, there's no flaw on you. You personally will rise from the dead. And Rav Bick makes the point that maybe the Torah here, or the Gemara here, and specifically contrasting Moshe with Klal Yisrael. If you think about it, the whole point of Moshe is to educate Klal Yisrael for the role of living in Eretz Yisrael. After Moshe dies, they're going to worship idols, so it seems that it's going to be a failure to Moshe. And perhaps there are two ways to measure Moshe's life. On the one hand, his personal life is a success. He will arise in the future, right? He's going to come back from the dead, and everything's going to be good for Moshe. But on a national level, Klal Yisrael will sin. And on a very simple level, tshuva does not appear in Parshios Vayelech and Azinu. We know that, hopefully we have belief, maybe from other sources, that Klal Yisrael may do tshuva. But the point being that Hashem is trying to make here, or the Gemara is trying to make here, is that we do all that we can in this world. There's no guarantee that after we die that what we have achieved will remain. Moshe educated Klal Yisrael for so many years, and then what happens afterwards? They go astray. But what is true is that our accomplishments ourselves, that will remain. Moshe Rabbeinu v'kam. Moshe Rabbeinu will come back from the dead. That could be that when we do things, when we do good in this world, so on the one hand, we're shaping our character and we're trying to shape the world. We shape our character by shaping the world. In shaping the world, that's external to us, so may or may not remain after our death. We hope it does remain. But at the end of the day, all we're judged on is what we've done to ourselves. We're trying to make the world a better place. By, let's say, for example, let's say we are a builder. We build things. So it's not about what we build. It's the fact that by building, then we became builders. What we become is a matter of eternity. What we produce is not subject to us. Obviously, we should try to create and produce and shape and better as much as we can. But at the end of the day, it's all about how we've shaped ourselves and our personality. And that's the message, perhaps, of this pasuk. Moshe is going to die. He's going to come back to life. Moshe himself did an amazing job personally in this world. It could be that the nation will go astray afterwards. It's not on Moshe. All we can do in this world is try to do the best we can, shape ourselves, and that's ultimately what our legacy is.